bolster your immune system, help alleviate stress, take in those minerals and vitamins that you really need, nutrients like vitamin B, omega fatty acids 3, 6, and 9, and many more nutrients. More Beauty now offers hemp seed oil. We all know that health is wealth. We must do all we can to maintain it. More Beauty offers 100% hemp seed oil, a natural option. Hemp seed oil, available from More Beauty. Order yours today from theembassyofthemoors.org. Theembassyofthemoors.org. I no longer call myself black. I'm looking increasingly into more science. Foundation of it happens to involve civics and law. So I'm thinking, what could be wrong with it? Seems to me that it makes sense. But in recent years, I've started to gradually get into it and learn more about it. I only figure I'd share the experience because there's others that were probably like me. They're mystified about this movement. They're mystified about the man that they call a prophet, Noble Drew Ali, for the Moorish Science Temple of America. It's only after working a career and amassing life experiences that I've come to realize that I'm not in my proper standing in certain respects related to our positionality in society and being confined within a specific establishment's construct. I'm not black. I'm not Negro. I'm not colored. And I'm definitely not a person of color because none of those titles, well, they're just titles. They're not aligned or associated with nationhood or belonging to a specific nationality. It's only when you dig deeper you come to understand that there's a contrivance behind all of it. But we won't get into that today. I'm your host, Bobby Day, just giving you some basic background from my experience along my journey of Moorish consciousness.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, you may.
Have you heard of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association?
No, I'm afraid I haven't. No.
Okay. So there is a man who calls himself Sheriff Mack, and he started his career in Utah and Arizona, and I think he is working maybe still in Southern California. And so in June of 2020, he started this program where he asks all sheriffs throughout the continent, actually, to become constitutional officer, because he said that he got into the law enforcement basically from looking at TV. It seemed good. And then he started doing the work as a police officer. Before he became sheriff, he was a police officer. And he pulled a lady over who ran a stop sign. Not a stop light, but a stop sign. So, you know, not a busy area.
Right.
But actually, the lady, she ran the stop sign and then she saw him after the fact. And so she just pulled herself over and got her license and her insurance out and just stuck it out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And so he walked up to her and grabbed it and pulled out his booklet and began to write her a ticket. And when he walked up to the car, he saw it was a bunch of little kids, just, you know, unruly and even arguing and doing whatever in the back.
Right.
Even while he was giving her a ticket. So he knew, he understood, you know, that it was clearly an accident. She was distracted. And, you know.
Right. That happens. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so he wrote the ticket and wrote her name in and did all this stuff. And he said, when it got down to his name and writing his badge number, then he stopped and asked the question, you know, what is he doing? You know, what is he doing for, you know, his community? And, you know, what is this all about?
Was
so he questioned himself.
Was he representing the greater good is probably the question he asked.
Yes, yes. He gave the lady her ID back and insurance, but he didn't give her the ticket. And he got in his car and he drove away. And he said, I don't even know how long she sat there until she realized she was not getting a ticket. But, you know, he just left.
Right.
And so, but that was a pivotal moment in his career. And then he said he was undercover for a year and then found out that undercover stuff was a big sham because of all the people who are being coerced into that life in one way or another. And so those are the things that got him to say, you know what, I want to change. I want to change what's going on. And so he's, but when he talked about his experiences, those were like in the 80s or something like that. And so now in 2020, he started this program to reach out to other sheriffs and police officers to become constitutional sheriffs. He said he sued the Clintons. He said, I sued the Clintons and I lived to tell about it. He said all that to say, sheriffs took an oath to the Constitution and we have that right. We are the law enforcers.
Correct.
And so he said, the thing is, you just have to find a way to tell your government, no, I'm going to follow the law, you know, and I'm taking back my power that I took an oath to. And so, so he's been doing that. And so that's why I asked you about it, to see if you've been getting any buzz about it. He just started in 2020.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So. I didn't even get any buzz about it. I've seen the title go around, and I also have come to know that actually sheriffs are derivative of Sharif. Sharif.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And it was basically a Moorish inception.
Yes. And so when I say law enforcement, that's what I mean, the Sharif.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And I've talked to some people that identify themselves as excuse me for the pronunciation, but viziers.
Viziers.
Yes. As a matter of fact, one I reached out to has actually agreed to do an interview with me at some point in time. What got me to step away from law enforcement was what I was facing. There are some things I didn't necessarily agree with that was going on, and when I actually stood up, I stood out a lot because I was the only one with this texture of hair, with my physical appearance that was working out of that particular substation for several years. I mean, there's certain things I was facing that other people weren't facing. It was evident that they didn't necessarily want me there, and every time I did something, it was pointed out. In my heart of hearts,
wow.
I stepped away from the career and been just, I won't say floundering, I've been flourishing somewhat, but I'm managing to, I've always had this consciousness within myself. I was one of the more conscious ones. You wouldn't think it just to look at me, but you know, I was the one rock those little medallions on the little leather medallions with the African outline on it. And I guess you could say maybe before or after the golden age of hip hop. And plus with the way I was raised to be an independent critical thinker. I took things from the comedic sense, but I also looked beyond that and looked more critically. And what also taught me was working within the confines of public service or law enforcement per se, where I was able to really focus in on being more investigative and such.
Great.
And I understood the difference between policy enforcers and sheriffs, because in actuality, I was glad, something in me told me when it came up as a career option to be a sheriff's deputy as opposed to being a municipal police officer, okay?
Yes.
Because there's a difference. And I learned that because I worked for an agency that actually offered police services to incorporated cities and jurisdictions.
Okay.
So I was able to understand the nuances, because in one particular city, there's certain enforcement action you can take versus enforcement action you weren't really too supported or wasn't too supportive of you to take enforcement action in some cities versus others. There's just different experiences that I saw that I happened to take notice of that led me to think that I was not doing the greater good for society, that I actually was the vanguard for elitists, elite people.
Mm-hmm.
And people that put themselves in a privileged space.
Yes.
So all that being said, I won't necessarily stay an epiphany because that sounds so fantastical, you know.
Yeah.
I just came to a realization in myself that I needed to do more with my life. You know, this is working out to be part of, I believe, to be a mission for me as I connect with those people out here. Because, like, we're going to have different groups that we're able to gather. I think all of us need to be able to network with one another throughout this land expanse and try to somehow get on the same page together to the point of claiming our estate, which would be the lofty goal, but it's a goal nonetheless to try to keep our eyes on. That's just my opinion. Do you feel that proclaiming yourself, I mean, we say proclaim yourself. What would be a comprehensive call to action? Why would you feel it vital? And how would you go about doing what you're doing and standing on your square, so to speak?
So a call to action is to nationalize and to be active in our communities and enforcing the laws that give us liberty and freedom. So we know that there are, like, for every law, there's a court for that, correct?
Correct.
Like family law has family court, civil law has a civil court, and, you know, federal and state and so on. So there's a common law. We know there's common law, but it's not enforced. You know, people say, I'm married under common law, and then, you know, the courts say we don't recognize that. And so, but if it's a common law, there's a common court. So where's our common court? So our common courts are natural laws. They're the laws of land. There's a reason why there's no active common court. It's because foreigners and corporations can't run those courts. Only the natural people of the land can run a common law court or treaty law or anything that has to do with natural people sitting on those seats. And so this is my call to action for us to understand this, that we're missing from those seats. Nobody can sit in those seats. That's why it's not there, because they can't. But once we can, once we do start to adjudicate natural law, we can get remedy. And once we can get remedy, if we put a little Sharifian behind it, right, we can start taking those people who violate us. We can do it lawfully as Sharif, as natural people of the land. We're having courts. We can do court of record, and we can start enforcing.
Yes.
So that's my call to action for us to do those things so that we can start removing those people who are using that system to violate us. That's the call to action. That's what I want to see. And that's what I'm reaching out to people and saying, you know, we're doing court actions even now. I've done some already. It's very easy.
Let's hear more about that, because you sent me this. You sent me something earlier. Go ahead and touch in all about that, please, if you would.
Okay. We're doing court actions, and we're doing them on this platform here, which is the free conference call. And so it does what the courts do, because you can record. So that's a court of record. And when you have common law court, the judge is the one who does the court action and the sentencing. It's not a jury type court, because when you do a common law court or anything that's a natural under the laws of the land, you come with truth. You don't come with debatable codes and statutes. Okay. You come with truth. So truth and fact is not a debate. So once you can prove fact and truth, there is no appeal. You can't appeal truth.
Can't appeal truth. No, the truth is the truth. It is what it is.
It is what it is. And so through that court, this is how we're just knocking them out the box. And so our final remedy, if it is true and we did the court procedure, we did it on the record, and the person is guilty, so the next thing is, what are we doing? They go to jail or, you know,
something
of that nature.
Man, it's got to be done, right?
Yes, and it's pretty simple, because like criminals don't come to court, so they just make it so easy. Because we don't have anybody to talk to who will stand. When that time comes, the only thing they're looking for is for the police to step in so that they don't have to be accountable. And they're hoping for that.
And I'm hearing a lot of language involving the word accountability. It's a matter of us reaching a level of self-governance that can be accountable, right?
Yes.
So that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, there's never a comfortable or a perfect time to start. But if we know that the court and the law enforcement can only start with us as viziers, as Sharifian, as the jure natural people of the land, we just got to do it.
Okay, well, drop me all the particulars and how do we reach you and socials and all that? Because I'm looking at your page right now on let me make sure I say it right. Califia Terrarum State.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't get into language, the linguistics aspect of it too.
Okay, so the linguistic part of it is separating ourselves, because before they started teaching us a corporate language, we had our own language. And language is part of your identity as far as your nationality is concerned. The language, the land, the flag, the dress, you know, those are all things that say who you are.
Now, let me stop you right there, because I remember when I was a kid growing up, people used to make fun of me because I spoke so proper.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke the white man's English.
Yes.
So really, in a sense, in some sense, they were right.
Mm-hmm.
But even though that we actually developed and created language.
Yes.
But we took on the businessman's language so we could still prosper in our eyes, but we were kept subjugated instead.
Yes. And the language puts you under their jurisdiction, because they teach you to say certain things in a certain way.
That's right.
And it'll catch you up, because you're using terms that are under their jurisdiction. And then even our religion. That's another part of being under their jurisdiction and being in captivity and being subjugated to them. So all those things we have to return to. We have to return to, even though we don't have the means to quickly return to the language that we used before, we can at least stop using their language. Because anything we say that's not their language, we're not talking like them, and we're not talking about their jurisdiction.
Totally agree. And it just makes complete sense.
Yes.
I'm looking at the page now, and this isn't a bunch of misspelled words here.
Right.
This is a whole other language.
you start to see it. When I do it, when I text somebody and I just do little sentences,
yes,
it looks like I'm misspelling. But when I did that website, it looked foreign. And it blew my mind because I wasn't expecting it to look like it's from a different nationality.
Which is really what we are. I mean,
it's what we are.
We are of a totally different nationality. I just had this discussion a couple of days ago about this, that my colleague that I'm working with now, who's more well-versed than I am as far as, law, study of law and civics and that pertaining to our situation, brought up these very things that you brought up. And it just lets me know that here at the right time, building, as I'm seeing this through for myself, and processing all this, it's just fascinating.
Great. I'm glad that you were able to get some clarity on why my website looks like that.
it wasn't like, I knew there was a purpose behind it, right?
Yeah.
It's like it was just something on my part that I was missing because I'm not fully of the capable range to even that I feel speak on it to a large extent because it's just so deep. It's just so involved when you're looking at but when you think about it, we're creating a separate nation.
Yes.
And then in dialogue that I've said that nationalism, when you say the word nationalist coming from somebody that's melanated, let's say Asiatic, it's considered automatically a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But who is it bad to?
Yeah.
It's bad to the system that's keeping you in a pattern of oppression.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Oh, that's heavy.
And even here, language, the color of words. Yes. And I mean like, purple is royal, different colors, black is dead, and all those kind of things. And the capitalization of words, all those mean something. And so when you look at the website, all the words are decapitalized. And because it signifies capitalism, it signifies being under their jurisdiction and being in captivity, being their subjects or ward of the state. And so to write all your words with no capitalization, because the capital words are not letters, they are symbols. So they're not even letters. So in the world of linguistics, all of that means all of it. So when you write in red, if you notice the Bible, Christ, whenever Christ spoke, he spoke in red. They put his words in red. And so the reason why they did that is because he was in his sovereign capacity. So that's why they wrote his words in red.